Welcome back in. Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike, Ally Mac, Squidbilly, Dylon, who is a less than stellar judge of which one Wednesday, but that's another conversation for another day. Some of you guys are definitely.
It sounds better to me. Why don't you cry about it? Yeah. Maybe you should do better. Be better, Michael.
I can't. Like, can we save that sound so that next time he complains,
do better?
Because it happens every single day.
No, it doesn't. Maybe I only complained once, and I was truly cheated, and I felt that way.
You refused to ever play again, like no less than a month ago. You walked out.
I am done.
Because I done felt it. I felt like there was a judgment made just to be nice, and I don't like that. You either win or you lose.
Maybe
there is no nice.
You should do better.
I was really good that day. I wasn't you know what? I'm not going to go down this road. But all I can say is the other contestant openly said that they conceded in the middle of the contest and yet still somehow got a winning judgment. Yeah, I felt a certain way about that.
All right.
Anyways,
man.
I digress.
Is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got a Life of Squid coming up in just a few minutes.
Hey, Mike, can I ask you a question?
Come on, man.
Ally, I want you to chime in, too, before we go. And this just popped in my head, and it's something I've been thinking about before we go to Braves. I keep hearing people keep bringing up the Falcons passed on Mike Green, the edge rusher out of Marshall. And I'm a big Mike Green fan, as you guys know. I loved his film. And he's a guy that fell because of personal issues, off-the-field issues. Not personal, but off-the-field things that happened with him, that he fell to what, like late in the second round, I think?
Yeah.
And
I can't remember what pick, but yeah, you're on it.
The Ravens took him. I think it was like 52 or something.
Yeah, 59th overall.
There you go, 59.
The Ravens took him. And I keep hearing people say, well, the Falcons should have taken him at 46. Oh, look, this is why the Ravens are one of the best organizations in football. They're not afraid, and they always find a way. And it irritates me because – the Falcons and the Ravens are in completely different situations. The Ravens have a defense that is loaded already. So for them to take a risk on a guy at 59, that is nothing. I mean, they were in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. They were in the divisional round last year. They're one of the best teams in football the last 2 or 3 years. They have an MVP, two-time MVP in Lamar Jackson. They're stacked both sides of the ball. They're a team that can take a risk with a guy off the field. The Falcons are not. So when people get mad at the Falcons for not taking a risk on him at 46 because they traded up for Pierce, I just think it's such it's like revisionist history, and it's also the kind of thing that the same people would murder them if they took him and he was out of the league in 3 years.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's not even for me about Baltimore's culture or the situation or anything like that. It's just straight up, like, we've all seen the meme, Ally, where the guy is walking with his girlfriend, and he turns around and checks out the other girl.
Uh-huh.
We've all seen that. That's exactly what some people are doing with this whole Mike Green thing. Like, it's just straight up like, oh, I know we got James. Like, okay, explain to me why one is so much more valued over the other one, and we got two edge rushers. And my thing is, like, when you look at we should have drafted him at 46 and he falls to 59, why are we not talking about the fact that every other team in the NFL passed on the guy? Like, twice, essentially, before he gets to 59. You know what I mean? Like, why is it that we as Falcons fans got to go window shopping and have this buyer's remorse of, you know, what we did or we did not do? Be happy about the guy we brought in. We have no idea at this point which one of those guys is going to be a better edge rusher. None. We have no idea. So I just think – I know that some people fell in love with Mike Green. A lot of people didn't even know his freaking name before he went viral at the Senior Bowl and ran over Josh Connerly.
That's the problem for me. That's the problem for me, Mike. That's a great point.
Yeah. All right, so let's spend a couple minutes talking about the Atlanta Braves. They will face off in the series finale with the Colorado Rockies today. You'll get Chris Sale going at 3:10. Bo, we've talked about it a couple times today. Never in a gazillion years did I think we'd be sitting here on April 30th talking about a chance for the Braves to claw back to 500. But like a lot of people have said, the team is just too talented to have started the year as badly as they did and think they're just going to go away for the next 6 months.
Well, as usual, you're wrong about my Braves. I'm right. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I had him. But remember.
Nope, not going to let him do it to me today, Ally. Not going to let him do it.
Was it you? I can't remember where we were. I can't remember if it was me and Abe or it was me and you.
It's probably you and Abe. Y'all are like best friends.
But I said, no, I'm talking about when I was doing the show. Okay. And I, because April's been a blur. But I remember saying, look, man, it's not that hard. Just win 2 of 3. Just win 2 of 3. And they've kind of done that. They've won 2 of 3. They had a sweep in there on both sides where they got swept and they won. And they swept somebody. They had a disastrous road trip to Tampa Bay and to Toronto. But they've just kind of clawed back and just kind of stayed steady. And it's been kind of cool to watch. And they've been very – it's been a very bronze – Allie, I think you might get this reference very well because of your knowledge of the Braves, but they've had a very Brian Snitker stretch where they've just stayed steady and they've kind of and like they're what 14-8
win game,
but they're 14-8 and it's like the Bobby Cox Snitker just win 2 of 3, just win series and it's gotten them back and they have done it all kinds of ways at the plate.
Yeah, I do think, and I don't want to point this out before we go any further, you'll see the Dodgers coming to town this weekend. The Dodgers are great, and obviously we saw that front and center to start the year. They're 20-10. Dodgers are also 6-7 away from home. So I think there's an opportunity there for a little bit of a get-back series when it comes to the Dodgers.
Well, and I might have had a little bit of a different take when they were not winning at the beginning of the season. Baseball is all about who gets hot when. So maybe it's a good thing we didn't start out so hot because it's a long season and maybe later on these wins will really kick in.
Yeah, it's a good point. Mike, real quick before I get life squid, you brought the Dodgers are 6-7 away from home. They're only 6-4 in their last 10, and that includes a 4-game winning streak.
Let's
so the
go,
Dodgers
baby.
have while they got off to that, what, like a 10-0 start or 9-0 or something,
yeah.
They haven't been – since you know they haven't been this amazing $500 billion roster on the field like they have been in the payrolls thing, so they have struggled a little bit, and I think we might be getting them at a good time because there's always a good time for me, Dylon. Yep, Baron Burton's a little W sauce, a little Fireshire Michael, maybe in the Bloody Mary mix. I bet Allie likes Bloody Marys. I'll give her some Bloody Mary mix from Key West style.
Bloody Marys are over mimosas every day. Yes.
Yeah.
There
Fair
you
enough.
Go. And my friends, the Allen Lager, a little new round brewing. Get on the Beltline and see them. Check it out. Check out their the beer that's the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. So, you know, John Gruden left ESPN. He used to do the quarterback camp. He went back to coach the Raiders, and that ended, well, not so great for him. And now he's at Barstool Sports. And he's brought back the quarterback little thing that he did. And I didn't really watch much of it because I don't check out a lot of online stuff from Barstool. I just see things that pop up on Twitter, but I'm not the biggest fan. I'm not a hater either. I'm indifferent, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's got some good content, some bad content. But he has Jackson Dart and he's like, "All right." It's amazing because you know how into it Gruden gets, and Jackson Dart, who did get up drafted by the Giants, he's kind of awkward in this whole process, but Gruden's like, "I want you to do the snap count. I want to hear your snap count." And it sounded – it was very interesting audio. Let's take a listen, Dylon.
"Stand up. Let me see your snap count. Let me be honest with me because I see at USC, I see this guy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah. No, I want to hear the snap count.
Yeah.
Really? Every time?
Every time.
Do you have like a dummy clap or anything?
Yeah, we call it purple.
What's that? No shit.
Yeah.
For 3 years, you've been clapping. I think I could do that.
Let me hear it.
No, I ain't doing it."
The joke's on John Gruden, though. This is what I've started to realize. We make fun and we try to get all these guys to adapt to what the NFL is. Guess what? Some of the best NFL coaches right now that are calling offense, they call college plays. I just got news for you, man. College games coming to the NFL, whether you like it or not. So I would, as an offensive lineman, though, Bo, I'd hate the clap. I would have hated pause, but I would have hated that.
I just don't know how you hear it. I mean, I think I know. I don't understand how you hear a clap, and I know that you have the guy turning around, and he does the left guard does his little arm out. But I could barely hear that clap in the audio, and Dylon had it turned all the way up. How are you hearing that with in the Superdome in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Huh? How are you hearing that when all those people are going crazy? I don't know how he heard it in the Swamp or Tuscaloosa. But it's so good. I just love Gruden's reaction. Like.
No,
for 3 years, you've been clapping?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, no blank."
Yeah.
And he goes, my favorite part was is when Dart's like, "Do it." He's like, "Nah, I ain't doing it."
He goes, "And be honest with me." And then you're. Okay. Well, did you just kill a fly or like, yeah. No, I love it. I would have hated that. And the thing is, you lose the hard count. You lose the, you know, everything trying to draw them off sides, man. So
well, that's why you got the, that's why you got the dummy clap, Mike, with
when he's, and we got to move on because we got Eric Edholm coming up. But when I thought when he was going to do that, I thought he was going to like fake clap, you know, like act like he was going to hit his hands and stop and then come back and do a dummy, you know, do a clap a minute later. No, I just did two clap.
Yeah.
And in homes all across the country, the lights turned off.
Now Lane Kiffin is like, well, I guess I got to come up with a new dummy count.
Yeah.
New snap count.
Anyways, we got to move on, man, because when we come back, we're going to talk to our buddy Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Eric Edholm was not a huge fan of the James Pierce trade. It's time for him to pony up and explain himself, Bo. Well,
he could be a beat writer for the Falcons then, couldn't he?
Not going there. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.